Praise be Jesus and Mary. In our last reflection, we began our introduction to Franciscan spirituality, just talking about what spirituality is and some of the basics of Christian spirituality. We'll continue with our introduction today, and we'll want to make clear that substantially, in its essential elements, Catholic spirituality is one. So it all aims at conformity to Christ, because as St. Paul says, God the Father has predestined us to be conformed to his Son, Romans 8:29. The Greek word that the apostle uses in that verse for conformity is sumorphos. It means to be similar in form, to have the same shape as something. So God's plan for us is to make us similar to his beloved Son, Jesus. All Catholic spiritualities aim at that. So Catholic spirituality is one, but in that substantial unity there is diversity. There are a variety of shades and accents in that way of being conformed to Christ and the way that it's lived out. Why one? Because there's a variety of spiritual temperaments and characters that you find in people. Also, very simply, because people are different. Thanks be to God for that. But two, there's also rich diversity in spiritualities because there's an inexhaustible richness in Christ himself. Christ, who is the model and the source of every Christian spirituality. The Old Testament Book of Wisdom speaks of wisdom as an inexhaustible treasure. It says that in Wisdom 7, verse 4. St. Paul, of course, speaks of Christ as being the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. So Christ is wisdom personified. He's wisdom in person, as it were. So no path, no one path of spirituality, nor all of the Christian spiritualities put together can exhaust the richness and the profoundness of the person and the grace of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, who is the sole animator of all perfection, we know he doesn't just give us holiness like someone might give us a sweater or a jacket. You just put it on and wear it and you're all set. No, his righteousness doesn't just cover us, as Martin Luther wrongly taught. Rather, with the gift of his grace, Jesus transforms us. And in the process, he makes us capable of conquering our own personal sanctity. So holiness isn't a handout. Holiness really is a conquest. Jesus, the founder of his church is his school of sanctity. And in his school, there are artists that he's created, artists of perfection. We call them the spiritual masters. All the spiritual masters have their eye and their heart fixed on our Lord. Again, why? Because he's the model of the divine and human ideal of perfection. He's the model. And like any good artist, a spiritual master focuses on the models, so he or she focuses on Christ in order to reproduce his life, in order to continue his life on earth, essentially. Because our life is meant to be a continuation of the life of Jesus Christ. If you weren't sure about that, well, hopefully now you're aware. And if we want to continue the analogy, the spiritual masters in the church are constantly working out with hammer and chisel, trying to sculpt the image of Jesus, to sculpt him, first of all, in their own souls. But again, since our Lord is an inexhaustible and infinitely great model, ever ancient, ever new, if you want to think about it in a poetical term, as light beam enters a prism and it gets reflected, refracted in various colors, into various colors, similar thing happens with the saints. You know, the light of Christ enters their mind, enters their heart. It's presented to them according to their cognitive and affective and volitional capacities. So it's the same light. It's always Jesus who is the light. But his light has different positive effects in each of his disciples, in each of his students, as it were. Hence the different spiritualities. St. Bonaventure, along these lines, says this. He says, it's customary that when painters wish to teach someone to paint, they place pictures before their eyes, and they draw next to them and get used to painting images, and so afterwards, they become masters too. So that's how it is in the spiritual life. Again, Christ the Master places the image of himself before us, and he works alongside of his pupils, teaching them how to sculpt, teaching them how to paint him. Some of the artists are impressionists, some of them are realists, some of them are icon painters, some are more contemporary painters, maybe some are more Baroque artists, others may be whatever school you like. For the Franciscans, our school is called the Seraphic School. We mentioned this before, but the Franciscan Order is called the Seraphic Order. St. Francis is called the Seraphic Saint, one, because of his ardent love for God, a love that was as ardent as the love of the seraphim angels, essentially the highest angels in the heavenly choir. The word seraphim in Hebrew means the burning ones. It literally means those who burn with love for God, whose wings shield them from the overpowering intensity of God's holiness. You actually see that, you read about that in Isaiah's vision, chapter 6 of the Old Testament book, the prophet Isaiah. St. Francis is also called the Seraphic Father because it was Christ under the aspect of a seraphim angel who appeared to him, who gave him on his body the sacred stigmata, the five wounds of our Lord, on Mount Laverna in 1224, 2 years before his death. So we look to St. Francis, the Seraphic Father, in order to find our orientation and how best to relate to all the elements of perfection that constitute the spiritual life. And then we follow his path according to our gifts, according to our capacities too. So it's from this variety in unity that we have the various Catholic spiritualities. All their roots are in the gospel. They all reproduce the life of Christ, and so substantially they're equal. Accidentally, secondarily, meaning they differ because they each have their own accent. Another illustration of this would be to say that at the top of the mountain is Christ, and he's traced out various paths to reach him. Again, we're not talking about different religions here that all reach God. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about different approaches in the one true faith, the Catholic faith. Different approaches which bring us to discover the unsearchable riches of Christ, as the Apostle says in Ephesians 3, verse 8. Different approaches which bring us to perfect conformity to God's Son, Romans 8, 29. And as we mentioned in the previous reflection, the spiritual life depends on two free realities, divine grace and human free will. God's grace on the one hand working inside of us in various ways, and the human will on the other hand freely has to collaborate with that grace according to the proper gifts and abilities of each person. No collaboration, no sanctification. No collaboration, essentially no work of art, no masterpiece for God. Our goal in embracing and following Franciscan spirituality isn't really to become another St. Francis, because there's only one St. Francis. Please don't try to imitate him. Our goal is to become like Christ in the school of St. Francis. So how we relate to God, to Christ, to Our Lady, to the Gospels, to the Church, to our neighbor, to the world around us. We want to sit in St. Francis's classroom and in the Franciscan classroom and learn how to do that. And that's what we'll be doing in our future reflections. Let's continue to ask Our Lady, the Master of the spiritual life, for the grace to be patient and teachable enough in order to sit down through these lessons and glean from them what she would have us glean from them. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.